Good morning, good morning, good morning. I missed my countdown by a couple seconds. Good morning! I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Happy Wednesday morning to you. I hope you are doing well. I hope maybe you, like me, have a nice good cup of coffee ready to go. Ready to dig into Revelation 7. So many things from Revelation have become sort of famous or infamous, puzzling, but well-known, but not well-understood, that kind of thing. Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse we covered Monday morning, and today is the 144,000 sealed. So some people are puzzled. Does this mean there's only going to be 144,000 people in heaven? Does this mean there's going to be 144,000 Jewish people in heaven? What is this 144,000? And then there's a countless multitude redeemed out of the Great Tribulation. What is the Great Tribulation? What does it mean that there's a countless multitude redeemed? And what are we looking at? So we're going to pray and ask for God's help, and then we will walk through chapter 7 together and hopefully get some clarity to these much debated, discussed, and mostly misunderstood images from Revelation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you because you are good and because you are faithful and you are great. There is no one who can overcome your power. When your word is spoken, it shall come to pass. Father, we want you to teach us from your word today. And we want you to write your word on our hearts to fill us with hope and joy and peace in believing. Trusting in you always, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Revelation chapter 7. And I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, that no wind might blow on earth or sea or against any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God. And he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen! Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat, For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Amen. Amen. This is Revelation chapter 7. Well, what are we looking at here in Revelation chapter 7? I would propose to you that what we have here is another angle on the same scope of redemptive history that we saw in chapter 5 from the perspective of the glory given to the Lamb in heaven. In chapter 6, from the perspective of the wrath of God being poured out on the earth through conquerors who make war and cause famine and death, martyrs who are sealed, and then the great day of judgment. And now, this is actually an interlude between the sixth and seventh seal of the scroll. Chapter 8, we're going to see the seventh seal opened, and as the seventh seal opens, out will come seven trumpets of judgment. But I think what we have here is really another recapitulation of the same perspective, but this one is from the perspective of the sealing and saving of the people of God. So in chapter 5, we had the glory given to the Lamb as the one who was worthy. In chapter 6, we had the wrath being poured out on the earth through violence and conflict and death. And now we have the sealing and saving of the people of God. And we go back here, I believe, to the very beginning. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth so that no wind might blow on earth or sea or against any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God, and he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." Four is the universal creation number. Okay, so we saw this with the four living creatures in chapter 4. We saw this with the four horsemen of the apocalypse sent out by the four living creatures. They go throughout all of the earth, rising up conquerors who make war and cause famine and death all over the face of the earth. There's no part of this world that's untouched from that reality if you study history. And then here, this is, again, the four angels at the four corners of the earth. Are these the four living creatures? Probably not. But again, they are four angels at the four corners of the earth. The idea is to throughout the totality of creation. And they're told, do not harm. They have wind. They're holding back the wind. And the wind is judgment. It's going to harm the earth or the sea and the trees. And the mighty angel, the angel in charge, says to them, don't release that until we have sealed the servants of God on their foreheads. And so there's going to be a sealing. We know that God has chosen in Christ and predestined and marked out as his own all of those who belong to him from before the foundation of the world, from before the creation of the world. We know that the Lord's foundation stands firm, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. Jesus said, "I have sheep. Sheep from other pastures have sheep. They're mine." When Paul was evangelizing in a city, God said, "Hey, stay here in Corinth, for I have many people in this city." There weren't many believers yet, but God said, "I have many people in this city." So we know it's a very strong, clear biblical theme that God has chosen an elect. He has predestined them for salvation. He has marked them out as his. And the unfolding of history is really the unfolding of him bringing them to himself. And that, I believe, is what this 144,000 represent. No numbers in Revelation are meant to be taken literally historically. They're all apocalyptic, which means they're all symbolic. Seven is the number of divine completion. Four is the number of the universal scope of creation, north, south, east, west, the four winds, the four corners of the earth. Three is the divine number, the number of God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity. 12 is the number of the people of God. And so you have 12 times 12. When we get to the New Jerusalem later in Revelation, we'll see that the walls are 144 cubits thick. 144, 12 times 12. It's the completion. A square is a complete and perfect idea. And so you have the complete and perfect number of the people of God. And 1,000 is just a really lot, a big number. Okay, so you have the complete number of the people of God. That's a lot, a really big number. 144,000. It's actually way more than that. But this is the symbolism. Now, there are said to be 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, not because these are ethnic Jews who literally come from these 12 tribes. A couple of hints that that's not what's going on here. One, 10 of these 12 tribes were lost to history, and we don't even know where their people are in the world today. We only know Judah and Benjamin and maybe Levi a little bit. But the rest of them, we just don't know. They're the lost tribes. This list of tribes is never given in Scripture in this way and in this order. You'll see that Joseph isn't here. You'll see that Ephraim is not here, but you do have Manasseh. So you just have one of the sons of Joseph. You don't have Joseph, but you have one of his sons. You have Manasseh, but not Ephraim. Actually, you do have Joseph. You have Manasseh and Joseph, sorry. Excuse me for that slip. And then Levi, and it's just this list of tribes like this. You'll never find this anywhere else in Scripture. It is an idealized representation of the people of God. We also know from Scripture, this is why Revelation is the capstone of Scripture. You have to know a lot of Scripture that you're bringing into it. We know from Scripture that the people of God, complete from Old and New Testament, together as one, is the spiritual Israel, is the holy people, the chosen people. So what Israel was, ethnically, geopolitically, in the Old Testament, the people of God have become spiritually as being fulfilled. You can look at Romans 9 for that. You can look at 1 Peter 2 for that. There's lots of places where you can look for that idea. But we are the Israel of God as the people of God. So I believe what we have is in verses 1 through 8, the sealing of this people, and then in verses 9 through 17, the saving of this people. So they're sealed before the foundation of the world. They're sealed before the winds are unleashed to harm the earth, before any wrath from God is poured out on the world, which we know that began to be poured out right after the fall. Adam and Eve were cursed. They were driven out from the garden. You know, Cain killed Abel. Cain's line was full of terrible people. There was the Noah's flood. I mean, just the wrath of God is actually a theme, is being continually poured out against the world from the garden until the last trumpet and the second coming of Jesus, when the final measure of God's wrath will be poured out. So before any of God's wrath is poured out, God's people are sealed. Sealed means marked out and kept. That's the two ideas of sealed. Marked out as belonging to God and kept by God through the tribulation. And this is the result of that. We saw 144,000 sealed, and now we see the fruit of that. The result of that is actually a great multitude that no one can number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. So it's not just Israelites, and it's not a limited number. This matches what happens in Scripture, right? In Scripture, we see Abraham called out and made a promise, and then we see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his name changed to Israel, and he has 12 sons, and then there's the nation of Israel, and by the time they leave in the Exodus, there's, you know, 600,000 men in the army, and probably a multitude of about 2 million people, but we know most of those were not actually spiritual Israel, they weren't regenerate. But what happens as Scripture unfolds, and particularly we get to the New Testament, is this breaking out, you know, when the veil is torn in the temple and the Spirit is poured out on Pentecost and the apostles go forward into the world, there is a breaking out into the nations of this salvation from a limited number of Jewish people to a worldwide multitude from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. God seals his own, but then when God goes to save his own, his grace always exceeds our expectations. It's one of the things we learn in Revelation 7. When God makes a promise, he not only keeps it, but he keeps it in such a way that far exceeds what we would have expected from the language of the promise. So God promised Abraham the land of Israel, but Jesus says the meek shall inherit the earth. And we are co-heirs with Christ to inherit the new heavens and the new earth. We will be the heirs of the new creation. So much more than just the land of Israel. It's all of the new heavens and the new earth. So when God makes a promise, God keeps his promise, but he keeps his promise in a way that far exceeds our expectation. And so instead of just 144,000 from the 12 tribes, we get a great multitude from all tribes and peoples and languages, like we saw in Revelation 5. This is the same group we saw in Revelation 5 being represented by the 24 elders. They're represented before God by the 24 elders, but they are a multitude beyond number from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. And they sing, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." There's that duet again. The one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, salvation. And this language here from the angels, verses 11 and 12, go back to chapter 5. It's an echoing exactly of what happened after the 24 elders said, "Worthy is the Lamb." All the angels said, "Honor and glory and blessing be unto our God and to the Lamb." And then this final part is the final ingathering of all of the people of God. So you have the sealing of God's people, you have the saving of God's people, and then you have the final ingathering of God's people. And I say this is the final ingathering of God's people because what is said in the poetic part of Revelation 7, particularly at the very end, lets us know that we have now moved into the new heavens and the new earth. You see that? Who are these clothed in white robes? White robes, by the way, are what you're given when you're done. It's the promise that Jesus gives in the letters. And it's the picture that we're given. His perfect righteousness. We're made perfectly holy and righteous, even as he is. And the palm branches are palm branches of victory. So you get the robe and the palm branches when you've won the victory and you've been made perfectly righteous. And these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Our robes of our own righteousness are filthy, stinky, dirty rags, but we wash them in the blood of the Lamb and they become white as snow. And we come out of the great tribulation. What is the great tribulation? The great tribulation is life as God's people in a world that is under God's judgment. So the great tribulation, you could say it's the whole church age, it's the last days, it's the end times, it's the final hour, it's now, and it's been now since Pentecost, and it will be now until the coming of Jesus. And what's happening in great tribulation is people are coming to faith in Jesus, but they're persecuted for that faith. God's wrath is being poured out on the world, but God's people are kept through that wrath, sometimes even kept unto death, which we saw with the martyrs in the last chapter. But in the end, where do God's people end up? This poetic section gives us a future promise. They shall hunger no more, nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. That must be in the new creation. And if there's any doubt, the very final line, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Does that sound familiar to you? It should. It's Revelation 21. So once again, we're given the whole scope of redemptive history from the sealing of God's people to the fall and the wrath of God, but then the saving of God's people to the ingathering of God's people and then into the new creation, this great promise that's given: no more hunger, no more thirst, no more pain. The Lamb will be our shepherd, guides us to springs of living waters, wipes every tear away from our eyes. We have reached the new creation poetically with these final lines of Revelation chapter 7. So we've now had three pictures of all of redemptive history. Chapter 5 from the perspective of the glory given to the Lamb. Chapter 6 from the perspective of the tribulation on the earth due to wrath of God, due to conflict. Now chapter 7, the sealing, saving, and ingathering of God's people. Takeaway lesson today, if you belong to God, you are sealed by Him. That means you are marked out and you are kept. You are being preserved in the midst of great tribulation. And God Himself will bring you all the way home, because when God makes a promise, God keeps that promise in a way that exceeds our expectations. Let's pray. Father, thank You for being such a faithful God, so faithful and so worthy, so awesome in power, so deep and rich in love. You are God, our Father. You have sealed us by Your sovereign grace. You keep us in Christ. And one day You will bring us home, where the Lamb will be our shepherd forever, and He will wipe every tear from our eyes, and there will be no more hunger and no more thirst, but we will drink from streams of living water, and we will rest in the presence of our Lamb forever. Give us that hope to kindle our hearts with that joy in the midst of tribulation, that confidence in the face of persecution, that hope that overcomes everything we see in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, Lord willing, on Friday morning, our plan is to regather and turn to chapter 8, where the seventh seal will be opened, which will bring forth the six of the seven trumpet judgments. We'll start looking at those in chapter 8 on Friday morning. Hope you can join us then, 8:30 Friday morning. Have a blessed day in the Lord.